From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. It is great to be with you. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Carlos Ortiz alongside. Two coaches I was hard on at the beginning of the season, Doug Gottlieb and J.J. Redick. Doug Gottlieb did a terrible job as the coach of the Green Bay Phoenix. J.J. Redick was doing a better job than Doug was. Both of these guys were strange hires. Doug did not give up his radio show and still tries to do both. JJ was doing media and podcasting and trying to tell everybody that he was smarter than everybody, but now he's actually got to do the job. But JJ Redick, last week, I think I uttered the words, he might be a pretty decent coach. I may have been wrong on him. 50-32. Now he's got LeBron James and he had Luka. But he came from JJ's, his media thing was weird. Because when he first started doing media, he was a breath of fresh air because he would go on the shows and critique the shows for the things they should be critiqued. Like, you know, these debate shows, they are what they are. They probably frame too much of the narrative, the television debate shows. But they are what they are. And you can accept that and watch it, or you can just not watch it. But JJ would come on there and blaze a trail, and we'd be like, oh, yeah, go JJ. But then the shows are like, okay, this is a little too meta. Got to stop having you on. Then he starts his podcast with LeBron James, and it's like, here's what we should do. And then LeBron needs a coach, and it's like, hey, what if we hired my friend who is so smart? J.J. Redick, as an analyst, would always go after coaches, especially Doc Rivers when he was on First Take.
I've seen the trend now. I've seen the trend for years.
What's the trend?
The trend is always making excuses. Get Doc, we get it. Taking over a team in the middle of the season is hard. It's hard. We get it. Just like getting traded in the middle season is hard for a player. We get it. Mm-hmm. But it's always an excuse. There's just no. There's never accountability with that guy. Accountability.
So J.J. Redick, very upset about Doc Rivers. No accountability. If you're the head coach, you got to take accountability. So here's some things that J.J. Redick has said as a head coach after they got bounced.
You see signs that their chemistry maybe in the fire wasn't where it needed to be, in terms of, you know, kind of one guy going, one guy not going. Were they together enough, or was it kind of what you'd expect considering this team changed in mid-February or early February?
Yeah, I mean, we played 13 games with our playoff rotation in the regular season. Bron and Luka obviously played more than that together, but these things take time. You know, Luka just went through it in Dallas with Kyrie. And doesn't happen overnight.
Opportunity presents. Are you saying again that because I'm inexperienced and that was an inexperienced decision that I made? Do you think I don't talk to my assistants about substitutions every single timeout?
No, I just think there's a lot of coaches lean on their assistants in those situations.
As do I. Every single time. That's a weird assumption.
So clearly a juxtaposition there. He is saying one thing to people that have the job of NBA head coach, and then he's doing the exact same things when he has the job of NBA head coach. So let me, after saying one thing and then another and now bouncing back, let me give you my analysis of J.J. Redick 1 year down as the Lakers head coach. I believe that J.J. Redick showed signs that he could be a competent and perhaps successful NBA head coach. I believe that he showed signs of that. Now, there's a lot of people that have showed signs of that. They just have to grit it as an assistant for 10 to 20 years. And you say, well, J.J. Redick's a player. Well, there's a lot of great assistants that were players. Whether it's your Sam Cassells or your Jerry Stackhouses, there's a lot of guys that once they get into coaching, they don't just get to be a head coach. They got to be an assistant for a long time, too. J.J. got a little bit of a boost and a fast track, perhaps because of his media acumen and then his relationship with LeBron James. So he's learning on the job, which I think a lot of these assistants do, but he's learning on the job as a head coach. And I think what will happen is when he looks back at this in 5 years, whether he's still the coach there, the coach anywhere, or not a coach, he will have learned things that he wish he could do differently. This is a problem, and I think that I've done this a lot in my life, and I think we all do. We all experience things. Maybe we get into these situations where we do bite off more than we can chew, or the moment's a little big for us. And at the time, we don't want to admit that. We don't want to admit anything's too big for us. We want to make more in control. This is our shot. But it always happens where we look back. As Rod Stewart once said, I wish that I knew what I knew now when I was younger. Youth is wasted on the young. So, in time, J.J. Redick will look back at some of the decisions he made on the court and say, I should not have done that. I've learned. The problem is that even though we all usually get to that place where we look back and say, I see now. I see clearly now with the vision of hindsight being 2010, my case 2010, your case 2020. Is that in the moment that he's in right now, stubbornness prevails. I am better. I won't think that way. I know what I'm doing. How dare you to question me? I do believe he'll look back and find these things where he thinks he's right and later admit that he was not right. But in the moment, a lot of guys choose to be stubborn and then double down or triple down. And I think it's a bad look. I think that while there is a version of J.J. Redick that can be a competent and successful NBA head coach, I think there's also a version of J.J. Redick that feels insecure about his future, that he knows he's got a lot of pressure, that if this doesn't work, will he get another opportunity? And you put more pressure on yourself. I also think he's in over his head in this playoff series. He was in over his head. The decisions he was making with his rotations, abandoning centers altogether, playing Maxi Kleba, he was in over his head. And so that is where I think he has to try to overcome. The way he acts in the media is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's very off-putting. Anything you want to say about him as a coach is one thing, but the way he acts in the media, because now he's at a, or he thinks he's had a taste of the media. He hasn't had the press conference Q&A hit a deadline by 11:30 at night media. He's had the, I get to yell with Stephen A. Smith. It's all just a production part of the media. I get to be on a podcast and everybody's dream guest may be LeBron James. He gets to break down basketball over Chardonnay with him or whatever. And then he just acts like he's above it all. Look, I'm a guy who sometimes gets edgy and vindictive, and but you got to have a certain decorum when you're in certain. Like even when I like kind of push the buttons or boundaries of like, should I be saying that? Oh, brother, I could go a lot further, and I want to. I would love to unleash and unload on everything and everyone that I don't like about sports radio for a good 4 hours. I would just like to take a night. We should have a purge night. I'm actually not joking. We should have a purge night where people can call in and say things that they can say with no accountability the next day about people that they don't like in sports. And then I get to trash people in this business or people tangent to the business and then not have any repercussions either immediate or down the line. I need that. That's what I need as a human being. I do need that. But I can't do it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Doug Gottlieb, on the other hand, I think is a miserable person who is going to fail in both jobs. So that's where I've settled now after watching these guys get hired, following what they've been up to, both in the media and on the court. That is how I feel about those two individuals. Los Angeles Lakers lose in five to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So what is next for the LA Lakers? That's going to be a pretty big question for a lot of these shows, including ours. I'm not going to exempt myself. I'm not saying I'm any better. The Lakers offseason is going to be one of substance and of conversation. And here's what they're looking at right now. Guys they have under contract for multiple years, including player options, include Luka, Austin Reeves, Jared Vanderbilt, Dalton Knecht, and, say it with me, Bronny James. Guys that are on expiring deals, which can be tradable, usually are tradable. Rui Hachimura is making $18 million. Maxi Kleba is making $11 million, and so is Gabe Vincent. I think those are guys the Lakers would maybe want to move off of, at least the latter two. Guys that have player options for next season include Dorian Finney-Smith, $15 million. He could opt out and go somewhere else. And then LeBron James, same thing. He could opt out. He's got a player option. He could opt out of his player option and become a free agent. I don't think he does that. I don't even think it's worth talking about the possibility of him doing that. What will probably happen is an opt out, and then a new he'll become like a free agent, but with the Lakers. So he's done that a time or two where he opts out, and then they sign him to another 1 year deal with a 1 year option. It's kind of how it's been going with LeBron. But I think he'll be there next year. So you've got LeBron. You've got Luka. How do you get better? Just like we look at the Bucks and say the best way to get better in the immediate is to probably trade Giannis. the best way for the Lakers in the immediate is to trade Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves, who has come along and is their third best player, he's making $13 million next season and then a player option for $14 million the following year. He plays like this. I mean, that's an easy opt-out because he can get a big deal somewhere. So you're kind of looking at an expiring deal for a 26-year-old guard who on some nights is their best source of offense. So they could trade Reeves, and they would do that to get a center. If there's a top-shelf center on the market, they're going to need to trade Austin Reeves. Is there going to be a top-shelf center on the market? There will be centers on the market, but are they worth even giving up Austin Reeves? You might have to take a worse return on the dollar or get the center and then some other pieces. The market seems to be Jakob Poeltl with the Raptors. I mean, if I told you that the Raptors traded Poeltl for Reeves, you'd say, well, what else did the Lakers get? Walker Kessler on the Jazz. Nikola Vukovic is still, you know, hanging around with Chicago.
Please trade him.
Yeah, I mean, you would be ecstatic if you got Austin Reeves.
I would take Austin Reeves in a heartbeat.
Nick Claxton with the Nets. Or the Lakers can keep Reeves and then look for some unrestricted free agents at that position. You're looking at Clint Capella downtrend. You're looking at Brooke Lopez downtrend. I mean, it would have been nice if they didn't veto the trade for Mark Williams, who seemed to be just fine for the Hornets after they said he wasn't healthy enough. And they were only going to give up Dalton Connect. The fact that the Lakers have been able to hang on to Austin Reeves to this point, pretty impressive. But now it may be time to trade. They got to get a big man. If they're going to operate, they got to get a big man. And don't say, oh, well, they had Anthony Davis, because then they would have needed more. That team was not winning a championship. They were not getting out of the West. You've got the last couple of years of LeBron. You've got Luka in his prime. He needs to play better defense. LeBron maybe needs to give you more in the fourth, but they do simply need a person to be a big man. They need it. We're in an era of positionless basketball, except we're also not. They need a big man. So that's going to be the outlook for the Lakers this offseason. Uncle Todd in Tampa here. What's up, Todd?
Bart, let's get down to business. But just to answer your other question about, you know, going off on people, mine would be, I'm coming to the Lakers in a second, but mine would be coaches like Jimmy when we should have run the ball against Penn State and won the NCAA championship over there. But every
who are you talking about?
You said if you had a show where everyone could go off and say whatever.
Oh yeah, well we haven't decided on that yet. We'll get around to that. What'd you call about JJ?
I just wanted to say on that last point, it would be all about coaches or teams that let me down, but all of them came through and won a title. So I can't be mad at him. But anyway, JJ, you have to take some responsibility for that young man. Okay, I was happy that you got the job. I liked you at Duke, but you didn't trust your bench at all. And then what's worse than that is that you had LeBron bringing the ball up the whole game, and then in the fourth quarter you put it in Luka's hands. Why? Why? LeBron was dominating and taking the ball down. LeBron was the closest thing to Magic. At 6'8", bringing the ball down, and then you take it out of his hand, and then everything went to kaput. So you got to take some responsibility for that. The Lakers choked, and they're out, and now I got to cheer for Steph. Go Bucks! I'll talk to you later. Peace.
It's Todd in Tampa. Thank you, Todd. I'm going to have to throw some purge language out at the San Francisco Giants for losing to the Rockies tonight. I know no one cares about my baseball survivor pool, but it's the most important thing in my life, non-MCU division, non-family division, and I need the Rockies to lose the next three games to the Giants. The Rockies! Come on. That's why you don't pick on the little guy. They always come back and get you. They lose tonight. Giants do 4-3. 888-710-4ISN. Pistons loss. We'll go inside that locker room when we return. And this Clippers-Nuggets game getting interesting. Plus, we're finding out more about what the rest of the NHL bracket looks like. Much more to get into. This, The Bart Winkler Show.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Ah, there it is. It is The Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Jalen Brunson, 40 points as the Knicks knock off the Detroit Pistons. What a year for Detroit. I don't know if you guys remember this, but they were bad last year. They had a losing streak. What did they get up to? 20-something last year. They were 14-68. Fired Monty Williams, brought in J.B. Bickerstaff, had a 30-point swing, 30-game swing. Last year, they finished dead last in the East. This year, they finished sixth. They go up 9 spots. They improve by 30 wins. They take the Knicks to Game 6, up 7. With 2.5 to go, you heard the final call there, Knicks Radio Network. Jalen Brunson had 40. Knicks had a basket with 4.9 to go, and then the Pistons, 4.3 to go. Pistons had an opportunity. Cade Cunningham finds Malik Beasley. He would have been open right through his hands. Malik Beasley afterwards said this was a great season for Detroit.
Nobody believed in us. You know, it was Detroit versus everybody, literally. And even through playoffs, you know, we continue to fight for each other and have each other's back, and we live with the results. Like I said, it sucks, but I think we gave ourselves a chance every game, and we just didn't pull through.
I believed in Detroit. I believed they would make the playoffs. Again, the only proof of that I have is on some podcast from last January. So I'm not going to spend the effort to try to find that, nor did I put any money on it. So it's just basically like it never happened. If a Bart predicts a Detroit to make the playoffs, but no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound? A lot of the improvement, I think, they had a young roster last year. They had a young roster. And a lot of these guys are still going to be there. Cade Cunningham is going to be up for an extension at some point. He's a building block for them. Tobias Harris was, you know, a decent addition there. Under contract again next year on an expiring. Sar Thompson was a rookie a couple years ago. Ron Holland's got some minutes. Jalen Duren, friend of show, by the way. I will say, friend of show. Tim Hardaway, free agent. Dennis Schroeder, free agent. So there's some things they'll try to do, but there's no reason to think that Detroit, under the tutelage of J.B. Bickerstaff, won't be back next season. Bickerstaff, even though they had a lead and then it got away from them, said they had a lot of good fight in that fourth quarter.
They don't quit, and they never have. It's just not in their makeup. It's not in their foundation. You know, just not in their character as human beings. Like, they just never feel like they're out of it. And again, like we always talk about, it's like when things go bad for this group, you know, in a lot of places you see the individual try to do too much. When things go bad for this group, they find a way to band together and get it done as a unit. And, you know, that's been from day one. And, you know, I can't speak enough about their resilience and their character and the guts that they show.
I think of all the ways this Knicks-Pistons series could have gone, this was the most appropriate, maybe obvious way for it to go. A series where the Pistons show the Knicks early we're not just to be walked over a series where they win a game that the Knicks think they can get past as a closeout, put the fear into the team, put the fear into the fans. Everybody turns in New York on Tom Thibodeau. And then Detroit, with this last punch, has an opportunity, but the veteran team is able to pull it out, and that's what they were able to do, the Knicks, tonight. With that, with them being young, Bickerstaff knows that the experience will at least help in the future.
It's great experience, and you don't get playoff experience until you get playoff experience. But I thought the guys did a tremendous job of learning from moment to moment, game to game, and trying to figure out, you know, how you can end up impacting winning.
And there's Cade Cunningham, who got on this Pistons team as the first overall pick in 2021. Was able to get on the all-rookie team right away. That's a team that won 23 games. Next year deals with the injury. That's a team that won 17 games. Comes back from that injury. They win 14 games. And in the last 3 years, the Pistons have had three different coaches. They got rid of Dwayne Casey. They had Monty Williams for one season. And then they moved on to J.B. Bickerstaff. And lo and behold, they won. They didn't even win 30 more games than they won last year. They won 13 more games than they won the last 2 years combined. But yet, their season's come to an end. Cade Cunningham on the loss.
The immediate one is disappointment. We felt good about the series, so, you know, to not pull it out hurts. But that feeling will stick with us throughout the summer and our workouts and conversations and everything. We'll be back and better.
So I just told you what this has been like for Cade Cunningham and the Pistons. And this is his first taste of regular season to postseason basketball, the difference he talked about between the two.
I'd say the physicality is up and just the attention to detail. Every possession means a lot more in postseason than regular season. So, you know, you just have to do everything stronger, faster, and a little more together.
Cade Cunningham, it's his third coach in three different years. Praise for JB.
The way that he inspired us every day, the way that he pushed us. I mean, I've never been a part of anything like that. A group that was so willing to buy in. So it meant that he means a lot to the whole group. You know, we wanted to play hard for him every night. We wanted to succeed for him every night. So couldn't ask for nothing better than that.
So the Pistons out, the Knicks moving on to take on the Celtics. The NBA second round schedule, I think they know the days of when they're going to play. They haven't finalized the times or anything yet. But the Pacers and they'll start Sunday. Pacers and Cavs are going to start Sunday, and Knicks and Celtics are going to start on Monday. So the NBA schedule moving forward, Rockets Warriors tomorrow. It does look like we'll have a game on Saturday. We were in jeopardy of not having a game, but we will have a game 7 between the Nuggets and the Clippers, unless the Clippers blow a 6-point lead in the next 18.1. And then on Sunday, Warriors-Rockets game 7, if necessary, that would be in Houston, and then Pacers-Cavs. So we should be able to go from one round to the next without having any days off. Clippers and Nuggets game, again, 18.1. to go. That's all in the NBA. Cindy's in Arizona. What's up, Cindy?
Hi, Bart. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted, you know, a while back you were talking about why couldn't they move football up to May and start in May, the preseason or whatever. But I just want to remind you that WNBA starts this weekend. The preseason.
And I said they football should move to May?
You were saying that NBA is over, football's over, and that they need something to fill a gap over the summer. But you have the WNBA, and they're starting, and it should be pretty exciting this year. They got a TV deal, and so you can watch a lot more of the games, and it's pretty competitive.
Yeah, one thing with the WNBA that's different than in years past, the preseason starts Friday, I believe, and
yeah.
It runs until, when does the season start? In two Fridays?
I think April 17th or something, or May 17th, sorry.
Yeah, May 16th. So Friday there's a bunch of games on ION, and then the 17th there's a bunch of games on ABC, including Chicago at Indiana, which is a nice marquee game to have right away. But this weekend there is preseason basketball on TV, including Indiana hosting Brazil. Tickets are like $500, and they're doing it in Iowa. You're right, where Caitlin Clark is from, as we know. So that should be interesting. That's going to be on ESPN at 3 Eastern, if you guys want to check that out. Yeah, Saturday.
And Paige Buchers is playing tomorrow. She starts her first preseason game tomorrow.
That would be, Dallas and Vegas, and that's on ION. So, yeah, I'm glad get the word out because it's starting.
Yeah, so I know you talk about the guys a lot. I just wanted to see if you can keep people informed about the WNBA. They're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm interested in it. Cindy, thanks for the call. I've certainly been more interested in it with learning more of the women that come from the collegiate ranks. And we'll see how interesting this season gets. Brazil also plays Chicago Friday. Yeah, one thing that they're doing is, I don't have the exact list of everybody in front of me, but the WNBA teams are playing preseason games in the homes of where one of their stars would be. I want to say Chicago's doing a game. I don't want to say because I don't know off the top of my head, but there is some of that happening, which it's good. It's good. It's a good way to connect the two, and I think both can benefit from each other. But yeah, Indiana on TV a couple of times this weekend. Clippers got the dub, so we will have a game 7 on Saturday night. To tell you more about that and everything else, let's get an update with Marco Belletti. Pretty good timing for me as I am on my quest to delete every tweet I've ever tweeted. Why am I doing that? Because I'm one of the good ones, folks. Not everything that I do or say needs to be moralized. It doesn't all need to be put in a memory box and dug out 100 years later. On an unrelated note, every episode of this show is available on podcast wherever you get your podcast, including the Odyssey app. There's a tweet as I'm deleting my tweets. I'm back to December of 2023. This is a very tedious effort. I think I'm just going to pay for the service to do it for me. But it isn't also, it's also an interesting look down memory lane about just the kind of arguments that I was getting in and how little people actually saw my content. Here I was thinking every time I tweeted, I had a banger. It was like 95 views on some of these things. But I'm back to a tweet. Back on December 3rd, 2023. And the tweeter is Jordan Travis. Now, you were so mean about this, you may have even forgotten who that even is.
Who?
Jordan Travis was the quarterback of Florida State. That got hurt which led to an undefeated Power 5 conference team not making the four-team college football playoff. And a quick disclaimer for those of you that need it. My name is Bart Winkler. One of the things that I have vowed to do is to never stop banging the drum on how Florida State was robbed a chance to play in the college football playoff in 2023 after that season. Would they have gotten destroyed? Probably. Did they deserve to be there? Absolutely. But why weren't they there? Because the committee didn't want to give you a bad product. That's the only reason. That's how we're judging the college football playoff. And you know what's the biggest shame of all this? Is that many people are okay with that. On December 3 of 2023, Jordan Travis tweeted, "Devastated, heartbroken, and so much disbelief right now. I wish my leg broke earlier in the season so y'all could see this team is much more than the quarterback. I thought results matter. 13-0, and this roster matches up across any team in those top four rankings. I am so sorry. Go Noles." Jordan Travis got hurt. Florida State still won the ACC championship, but did not get put in the college football playoff. A guy whose leg snapped said, "I wish my leg broke earlier in the season. I am so sorry." He's sorry for his leg being injured. I said at the time, college football fans are pumped that one of the 90,000 games of college football they will watch in their lives might be a little more competitive than normal because you don't have to watch the team whose quarterback tweeted, "I wish my leg broke earlier in the season." It's sickening. If you'd like to retweet that, I have just deleted it. Why do I bring this up? Not to take you down memory lane, but to tell you about what Jordan Travis wrote yesterday. "As I reflect on my journey, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude, from having the opportunity to live out my dream at Florida State to hearing my name called in the NFL draft. I'm thankful for everyone who has poured into me throughout my life and career, to my family and friends. Unwavering support meant everything to me, thanking the coaches, his teammates. To the entire Jets organization, thank you for believing in me. On November 18th, 2023, my life and career took an unexpected turn. I gave everything I had to the rehab process, but despite my efforts, my leg never responded the way we hoped. After much prayer and consultation with my doctors and medical team, I have been medically advised to retire from the game I love so deeply." Jordan Travis, whose injury kept Florida State out of the college football playoff they deserved to be in, is retiring from the NFL. So I hope you all enjoyed those games last year. This young man's life altered forever. But at least we didn't have to watch Florida State lose in a college football playoff game. Thank the Lord. Now, one thing that he did do that I want to commend him for is he wrote out what I just read to you with his actual hand, like handwriting. And then he took a picture of that note and then posted it. I find that to be a lot more sincere than just scribbling something on the notes app. Now, had I been faced with something like this, though, I may go notes app. Do you ever try to write, Carlos? Do you ever try to physically write with a pen?
I don't remember the last time that I had to do it, actual writing, short of filling out like a doctor's form or an application or something like that. Like, If I had to pick up a pen and like write a single page, I may look like I went to med school for 26 years because you can't read what I write.
I have lost the ability to write without it feeling foreign. It doesn't feel right. It hurts. I have to pay my water bill by check. That I can't even finish the check. And then for like a present, I gave my wife some like handwritten thing because I'm baller. And you can tell as you go through the book, like, oh, this guy, why didn't you start sooner? And then because I tried to bang it all out in one little session. And it's like, this would be the nicest thing you've ever said to me if I could read it. If it was legible, she picks up the book, she reads it, she goes, you hate my outfits? I go, no, it says I love you forever. What?
Murph, you are an oaf.
Yeah, it's terrible. So Jordan Travis retiring. Hate to see it. But I will never, ever, until the sun engulfs us all. Even then, with my dying breath, I'll say Florida State should have been in the 2023 college football playoffs. Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.